Does get real. When the real guys come, real fortune. We will raise market game changers. Does get real. These are the kind of guys I need to have in the locker room. The championship type guys. Third guys, you just gotta recognize I gotta pay the money, I gotta keep it. Everybody has an opinion.
They came with so much bravado and so much swagger.
We're not gonna make it. Sometimes you gotta create space where there's no space.
I can't argue with LeBron with this.
I do have a game of time with execution. Right?
He burned it, a lot of bridges. He's gonna be hated in Chicago. He's gonna be hated in Cleveland. He's gonna be hated in New York, and that's what I'm excited to see.
Now I blame it on Nintendo. I blame it on the fact that they never played against a team that's gonna be as dominant as this team could be.
The true villain team. The team that everybody wants to smack in the mouth every time they play them. All right. Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports. Mark is a game changer. We got Devon and Ray in the house. Fellas, how y'all doing?
All right. Ready for another big week.
Yes, another big week it is. As always, we welcome you in to and we welcome you to pull up a chair to the table and join the resistance. You know, welcome to the fold. You know, you're in with the Real Sports Guys, the RSG crew, and you can call in if you want to get on with us at 1-347-989-0844. That's 1-347-989-0844. So feel free to call in and get on with the Real Sports Guys. So, fellas, it's been a big week, a lot going on. You know, we got a nice little rundown. We got to recap the games from last week. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into some college football. We're going to get deep into that with the first set of BCS standings out. So we're going to dig into that. Plus, we had a big win up here in Wisconsin. Madison was rocking this past weekend. For those of y'all that don't know, we're broadcasting live. I'm live from my basement in Madison, raised in Beloit, Devon's in Rockford. So, you know, we hold it down for Wisconsin up in these parts. We represent hard. So Bucky represented and took down the Buckeyes. We got the playoff games going on right now in baseball. We got the NBA season about to kick off in less than a week, so it's a lovely time to be a sports fan right now. I don't know about y'all, but I've been putting in a lot of work on the show. So you know, as we always do about this time, we kick off the show with our funky editorial. So you know, I've been putting in a little bit of extra work on the aesthetics of the show. So I got a little, I put together a little something to kind of get us into the mood to get funky with this funky editorial. Now, fellas, I'm going to play this intro. I just want y'all to know what we're going into. We're going to talk about this NFL policy. You know, the higher-ups at the NFL come down, and they're just appalled at the hits that's going on. So we're going to get into this, man. We're really going to dig into this because, to me, there's a lot of hypocrisy going around. There's a lot of doublespeak, you know, talking out of both sides of your mouth type stuff. And we don't play that here at The Real Sports Guys. We don't play that double talk stuff. So we're going to dig into the NFL on that real quick. But before we do that, I'm going to hit y'all off with this new little intro we got.
Fellas, only one thing we need to say. Shall we say it, y'all? Melvin, Jimmy, Coleman, Ryan, say it. Everybody want to get funky one more time.
All right, there we go. Funky editorial intro right there, fellas. Got some JBs and some Parliament Funkadelic. You can't get no better than that. Y'all know I know my stuff.
You can't,
y'all know I was raised right. So, you know, we got the NFL higher-ups coming down, and they talking about suspending cats. They talking about fining cats. They talking about dropping the gavel on cats for laying these hits. DeSean Jackson. Whew. I don't know if y'all saw that hit Dr. Robinson put on him, but that was nasty. James Harrison took out two Cleveland Browns this weekend. And Brandon Mayweather, or Merriweather, He was hitting like Mayweather because he took out a couple. he took out a cat this weekend. So it was a lot of crucial hits, man. But as far as the NFL goes, you know, I only got one thing to say about them, man.
You want it to be one way. Stop saying what if the other way?
You know, they want it to be one way when it's the other way. So I want to get y'all initial reaction on this. What is going on with the NFL right now? They talking, I mean, this is football, right?
I will say this. Jackson got took out like Snoop got him. Snoop and Chris got him. Like he's taking him to the empty apartment.
They put him in one of them abandoned buildings.
I listen to this stuff, you know, and I played a lot of football games. And you can't let it, I mean, when I thought about this, I used the economic term in terms of, you know, a point of diminishing returns. It's the point which you start to lose value, right? And the NFL is getting to a point where, you know, they're the best game in town, but sometimes you get to a point where you just lose your mind and start taking away the value of the product. You cannot you have referees out there for a reason. They're supposed to be enforcing the rules. You know, they're supposed to – some of these hits, these guys are bigger, faster. Some of these hits, I mean, the Harris hit was – I mean, he just went through the guy. I mean, you can even make an argument. The one hit that might have been the one that you would find would be the Merriweather because I think his hit was – you could tell he was trying to really knock him out. But the other hits they show is really – people going shoulder, you see the change in the path lane in terms of people aiming for the chest, the guy ducks his head or whatever, or you hitting up through, rolling the hips, and they still knocking the helmet back. I mean, these are all, but it's just a product of bigger, faster guys. The impact is even bigger. And so I don't know, you know, the NFL, you know, they're already doing enough for the defense in terms of frustrating defense, helping the offense out. I mean, what else do you want them to do? Before we know, we're going to have flag football. And now you talk about an 18-game season. I mean, it's just like I'm hearing this all this stuff, and I feel like, man, between the NCAA and pro football, I'm like, who talks more? Who double talks more?
Hey, see, I gotta play it one more time for the fans out there.
You want it to be one way. Stop saying that. Put it the other way.
You know what happened to him? He ended up in them empties.
I'm telling you, man, in the vacant.
In the vacant. And, I think that's what's happening right now. And you can tell the players are frustrated. Folks have already spoke up. They're already talking up, especially defensive players. You know, they're already saying, you know, what's going on next. So, I mean, you know, as I was driving to work, I'm thinking, man, all defensive players should just walk off the field on Sunday. It's like, we're going to have a strike. We're going to walk off the stadium. Because why should we play?
Right.
If every time we hit somebody, you're gonna fine me $50,000. What's it more egregious than that? $50,000, $75,000. Come on. I'm done with it.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. Ray, what is your opinion on this, man? Because I'm falling in the camp of D, man. I'm rolling with D on this one. This is a little much.
They're trying to keep these players healthy, and it's impossible to play a game of football when you have to pull up, you know. It's like asking a boxer to pull punches, and it's about hitting. And how do you make a tackle without trying to put a little, you know, mess in it? You know, you got to hit somebody. And the way that they're playing, you know, I could see. I would rather them go after a truly flagrant, you know, attempt to harm somebody. But I know when I played football and somebody, you know, most of my time was on the defensive line. So, you know, I enjoyed it when somebody jumped offside because that was a free shot. You know, that was just something I got to do. I got to hit somebody across the line from me that probably didn't even know it was coming. If they weren't the ones that jumped offside, or if somebody in the backfield moved and they shouldn't have, I got to hit somebody. And that's just football. I don't, I understand that the stakes are much higher. You know, these guys are much more athletic, much more strength. The potential for injuries is greater. But again, harken back to what Dee said. You know, when you talk about an 18-game schedule and then you pull back on some of the contact, you're going to water the product, and you're going to find that it's not going to be very fun. I think right now football is at a point where, the defense is handcuffed. And I attribute these high scores that, you know, football is not meant to be a game of 45 to, 38. But because of the way that they protect everybody, this is exactly what's happening. You know, they took away the horse collar. You know, that to me was a tackle. You know, that to me was one way that, I would love to have somebody calculate how many more steps you have to take to make a legal hit in what used to be just grab them by the back of the pads and throw them down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
yeah,
it's,
man. To me, the double talk, like Dee was saying, the double talk, man, is crazy because, as you pointed out, Ray, they trying to go to this, as UND pointed out, they trying to go to this 18-game schedule, and,
right.
You know, they saying they don't want all of these hits because it looks poorly for the game. But at the same time, this is what fans want to see, man. This is what I grew up
right.
on. This is why
right.
it drew me to football, was being able to lay somebody, the thought of being able to lay somebody out is what drew me to football.
And I also believe that
that's
the NFL
why I started
realized.
Playing football as a child.
Sure. And I
believe
that the NFL
are not
realizes
really talking
the,
about. I want to add something from a defensive side of the game. If people aren't really talking about if what's the likelihood that we're increasing the likelihood of defensive players getting hurt, but because
sure.
they're hesitant. So you could be thinking I got to change my pad level or make an adjustment. You could be coming up soft. And some of these running backs, some of these receivers, you know, are playing hard too. You know, you think about somebody like a Hines Ward who's physical. And
sure.
how do you make yourself open up for getting hurt if you come up half, like you're not sure how to come up, and you get blindsided or whatever? See, I mean, you putting people if you can't second guess yourself when you play a defense. Ain't that much time. I mean, look at what happened last night with Johnson when he cut him for that touchdown. You know, your boy came up, defensive back came up from the outside and hesitated, and before he was gone. He was gone. So, I mean, you put yourself in a compromising position on defense if you sit there thinking, what did I do? You can't think on defense like that. You got to just react. So I feel the defensive players are going to be susceptible to a lot because – they're going to be hesitating, which isn't good.
And they're going to be ineffective. You know, the old saying goes, he who hesitates gets pumped. That's what
yeah.
I see happening, man. Like, that's what I see happening. You're going to have these – I mean, it's just going to be running ruckshot. Fellas, before we continue to go, we got a caller on the line. I'm going to get this caller in real quick, and we're going to have them jump in and get on with us real quick. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello, caller?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, you're on with the Real Sports Guys. How you doing? Who we got here?
You doing, Captain? My name is Rick from Ann Arbor.
Rick from Ann Arbor. How you doing, Rick? Thanks for joining us. Right now we're talking about this the NFL and how they want to go on finding guys for the most part, entertaining hits. I mean, I was entertained. I didn't feel it. I didn't have to feel it. I'm not on the field. So, but the NFL feels like these are egregious, in their words, displays of violence. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's not. I feel it's all in the game, man. You know, a guy's running full speed, and one game I was watching on Sunday, the Minnesota game, a Dallas game, and what's his name? Running back 28 from Minnesota,
Peterson
ducked. He went lower, so the D back tried to go lower than him. They hit helmets. You know, they blamed the D-back on that one, man. So I think it's wrong, man. You know, some guys are dirty players. For the most part, they're not dirty players. It's just part of the game. You know, in this case, you're talking about suspensions and going to an 18-game season. It's wrong. It's law.
Yeah, to retroactively try and legislate someone's intent, like they're talking about looking at the intent of a guy coming across the moon. I guarantee every player out there is trying to hurt somebody. As James Harrison put it, you know, when I play football, I'm trying to injure people. I don't believe in hurting anybody. But if you injure, I mean, no, not injuring people. He said, I believe in hurting people, not injuring people. When you're injured, you can't play. But when you hurt, you shake it off, you get up, you take a series or two off, and you come back out there and play. And he says, I go out there, I'm trying to hurt people.
You know, football is all about intimidation, man. You get someone running a slant route, they come across that middle, and their arms are exposed. They'll keep back hitting those ribs, man. So next time he comes across that middle, he's not reaching for the ball anymore. So that helps the defense do what they do. You know, this is football. I mean, yes, it's a risk. You take a chance on getting hurt every Sunday, every down. It's a risk. But this is football. You know, the blatant ones or implement instant replay on it, you know, to see who was vicious, who went above and beyond the call of duty or spearing someone with a helmet. You know what I mean? But helmet to helmet hits in football, it's going to happen.
Especially when you're talking about a running back like Peterson. You know, how are you going to take your eye off of him and add another fraction of a second to make sure that you hit him with your shoulder, and realizing that if he spears you in that shoulder, you're done. It's all over for you.
The game is so fast.
Exactly.
And you got to, like you said, you have a fraction of a second to think, okay, where am I hitting the mat at? Where's his head at before I hit him, you know? And I understand, you know, these concussions, I understand these young men getting paralyzed. But it's, you know what? It's a risk they take to play the game.
That's
part of the game. You know? Is Devon on tonight?
Yeah, Devon's here.
Devon.
Up there from A-Square. Representing.
How you doing? How you doing, man?
All right, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, bro. I'm doing okay.
Hey,
yeah, I saw it all week. Go ahead. What's that?
You hit it right on the head, Rick, and I think, you know, the part about this is that, you know, where is it all in? That's what I'm trying to figure out is where does it all end? And the NFL is finding, like they said, you know, the couple guys were on saying they fine us for how we tuck our shirts in, they fine us for whatever. I mean, they fine us for everything. And so where does it all end? You got the best product in the world.
And you want to be stronger, faster players in the league, man. These guys, I mean, it's a collision, man. It's an absolute collision. These guys running, you know, 5, 6, 7 miles an hour at each other, it's going to be a collision.
Right.
You know,
and I think it goes back to the marketing. You know, football has admitted that they have the male audience. That's already there. That's not something that they have to try to reach to. Right? They try to reach to now is that female audience, and that's why you see some of these decisions, you know, they're trying to lighten the game. They're trying to make it more appealing. And I think when you try to do that, you're going to soften it up. Soften it up in such a way that, you know, like Devon said, it may end up being flag football in no time.
Yeah, make it touch football.
But
you know, right.
But I guess I would add is I don't know if Goodell's ever watched at least a game with women from the Midwest. They worse than men. They want to see somebody get knocked out. So
yeah,
if you try to get
the
women all this, at least some people in the Midwest, I mean, the women are looking for blood more than the men. So I don't know how they do it on the coast, but I know in the Midwest, they out there yelling and screaming as well. So,
I think they
want the violence.
They're attacking this problem from the wrong angle. You know, if you want to lessen some of these injuries, then research some of this equipment a little bit better. And how
mm-hmm.
many times have you looked? How many times have you looked out on the field and realized that guy ain't got a full set of pads on?
Right. So these guys aren't playing cups anymore, which I find just crazy.
Right.
You know.
I mean, if a player chooses not to wear something because it makes him faster or more agile, if it makes him, you know, have a little bit more flexibility and agility, when he gets hurt, you can't go, well, we got to slow the game down. No, you find him a better helmet. You find him some more pads. You know, if the future is that we're going to have bigger and stronger players, we're going to have bigger and stronger shoulder pads. We're going to have
mm-hmm.
more cushion in that helmet. If these concussions are happening at the rate that they're happening, then you have to ask these, you know, these Rydells and companies to come up with a better product.
Well, part of it, they could start out about having these cats wear mouthpieces. Most of these dudes in the NFL do not wear mouthpieces. And that's one of the first, that's one of the first things you could, that's one of the easiest things, the easiest steps to take to prevent a concussion.
Sure.
Is to wear a mouthpiece, because it's that rattling of the jaw that really, you know, the force at the jaw that goes up into the brain and shakes the brain up, and that's what that's part of what attributes to concussions.
Right.
And if they could wear a mouthpiece, that would cut back on some of it. It's not going to solve the problem, but it's the first. It's a step to help. I mean, if you keep turning your ankle, put on an ankle brace.
Far-fetched. Now they want to think about stopping having a kickoff, just spot the ball at the 25-yard line, you know, and not have a kickoff. And some of those guys make their bread and butter on special teams.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When you sign that, most of those cats are making pretty good money. And when they sign that, bottom line, they know that's the risk.
And they know that the career is short. They know that this is what it is. They want to play on this level. This is what it is. These guys are all, you know, all Americans. These guys are all, you know, the best players, you know, that they know. And that's why they're out there. You know, that's what the pro level is all about. That's what, you know, separates. That's why they keep having these levels, these elite classes of athletes out there playing at one time. They know they're going to get hit.
As men, though, ESPN, when they have the top 10 biggest hits, we can't wait for that. We want to see that.
Right.
You know?
Which, again, is why I don't understand why they're trying to make it like, don't do that. Because they'd be the first, the NFL's one of the first ones to put out NFL's greatest hits. You know, NFL films has got NFL's greatest hits from the last 5 years. DVD, you know, comes free with your Sports Illustrated subscription. You know, now all of a sudden they don't want to see these hits. You know, they don't want the hits to be part of the game.
Our wide receivers, I can understand that our wide receivers maybe, but like I said, Adrian Peterson on Sunday, I mean, as a defensive football player, you want to get low as possible. So he's ducking, I'm ducking, we hit helmets. Now I'm suspended because I hit him in his helmet?
Right.
That's wrong.
Right.
And that's the other thing, too, is like if you go too low, if you're a defender and you go too low, where are you hitting the guy? In his knee?
Right.
So that's that's safe.
No,
you know what I'm saying? That's safe. Yeah. Come on now. That's not safe.
Other receivers,
you're going to have a lot of torn up knees and a lot of cats that's not as good as they could be.
And my argument goes back to I'm not taking my eye off Adrian Peterson. If I'm coming in to make a tackle, more than likely my head is coming first because I'm not taking him out of my sight. I'm not going to worry about which way he's going to go. I'm hitting him straight up, and if I can, I'm going to tuck my head at the last second, but if I can't, I'm taking just as much of that blow as he is.
Yes, you are, but
that's
it's
my job.
It's a split-second decision. You know, it's a split-second. I mean, I don't see a guy running up on a tackle and say, okay, I'm gonna go helmet-to-helmet with him. I mean, you got to come at angles. You got, you know, these guys are, you know, they're spinning and stuff like that. You come back, boom, it's helmet-to-helmet now. Now, I feel sorry for the wide receivers come across the middle and blast in the head. That's different.
But the NFL has protected them, too, in a way that I understand. You know, you can't hit that receiver 5 yards down the field. Otherwise, they had a hard time separating
I was going to say something real quick about that, because Steve Young made a point last night, and even when I watched the Jackson hit, it was clear they were in zone, and he ran all the way through the zone. Now, one of the things he talked about is, Steve Young was talking about quarterback play. He said, you used to see a hit like that back in the day every once in a while because quarterbacks didn't put receivers in those situations. You know, he talked about the development of some of the quarterbacks today not being able to read defenses as well as some of these receivers running through when they should be sitting down. What do y'all think about that in terms of how that contributes and exposes receivers more in terms of, you know, the type of quarterback play we have today?
Man, that absolutely has an effect.
Anymore.
I played receiver in high school, and the reason I stopped playing receiver is because my quarterback kept throwing them damn passes over the middle, getting me knocked out. I'm 150 pounds soaking wet at this point in my life. And you keep hanging me out to dry, trying to get me to go for these balls over the middle. I was like, I'm good. I'm going to stick to basketball.
Here's the thing about it, is the accuracy,
brother,
man.
Was that him laying you out?
No. He wasn't the quarterback then. My brother was the quarterback. He's 6 years younger than me. He came along afterwards. If he was running quarterback, man. And he would have hung me out to dry, I would have choked him. That would have been the end of that. He would have done that once.
The league is watered down with quarterbacks, man. These guys aren't accurate, man. They're throwing these balls, you know, 5 feet of these guys' heads. They're trying to make a catch. So they're, you know.
But part of it is most of them come from these spread systems. Most of them come from these spread offensive systems in college. And with these spread systems, you don't really have to be able to read the defense as well as you will. That's why it takes them so long to figure things out. That's why Alex Smith, it's taking him so long to figure it out. That's why it's going to take Tebow a long time. You know, and the quarterback that threw the pass, Cobb, he played in a spread system in college also. You know, so these spread systems don't force quarterbacks to really read defenses. They make the reads really easy and really rudimentary. A quarterback, so that when they get to the pro level and they see these exotic blitzes and these exotic zones, they really don't know what they're looking at totally.
That's a good point, man. That's a good point. You're right. You're right. But, I mean, somebody mentioned females. They want females, more females to be part of the NFL and watch these games. But you know what? It's not the demographic. It really isn't. You know? So, a woman, you know, gets a little, you know, queasy because you're hard hit or somebody break their leg, whatever. You know what? It's not for you because it's going to happen.
But again, I made that comment based on some of the other decisions that have been made. You know, overall, you're going to see a decision come down on Brett Favre, not necessarily based upon what we would consider moral, grounds, but the fact that, you know, something needs to be done. You can't just have a guy out there doing things. And the same thing happens.
Yeah, because honestly, like, they would be suspending half the league if it was because he sent the picture to somebody. He sent the picture, as you said, sent the picture of his junk to somebody. Because, man, again, Antonio Cromartie got how many three-year-olds? 8, 9 3-year-olds?
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he obviously wasn't being faithful to somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's obviously some moral shortcomings involved in that situation, and he ain't suspended.
I don't think it was deliberately out to, like, influence career. I mean, when you all are all up playing football, man, you're in the zone, man. You all make plays, you know,
right,
yep. Best you can. You know, you have to, you know, I can crack somebody, man, and have him cough the ball up. That's my job.
That's
you know? And unfortunately, sometimes it's helmet to helmet sometimes. But it is a violent game. All of a sudden now, because of Sunday, you had more than, you know, two episodes. Well, we got to do that, you know, call a summit. What's going on here?
You know, and that first Monday night game when Ray Lewis hit that fellow across, was that Heap? He hit somebody across.
No, that was Keller. That was Dustin Keller he murdered.
Yeah, you know, and as a defensive player, you have to make a decision. Am I going to make it to this ball to hit it down? Am I going to make it there to make an interception? Or am I going to have to time this so that as he touches the ball, I want him to reach for his ribs at the same time. I want him to think about this.
Right.
You know, this is my area of the field. I want him to realize that he can't run through here anymore. And that's football. That's football right there. I want him to know.
They make the least amount of money. Well, they're getting guaranteed contracts now, part of their money. But Sunday, their career could be done.
Sure.
And they understand that. So they try to make the most money by making these vicious hits, you know, and standing out and getting a new contract. You know,
it's all about
making tackles. Make tackles, legal tackles. And now, like I said, man, you run it, I mean, the speed of the game. NFL is so fast. Everybody's fast, man.
You look at the changes that have been made in the NFL, most of them have been made to protect the offense and to score more points. And if it's not, you know, blatant, it's underlying. All of these changes that they make to slow down these defenses are going to account for more points. And, you know, pretty soon you might as well just put a handcuff on them and say they can only tackle with one arm or you know.
Like
you said
earlier, maybe flag football, you know.
Right. They have no problem pulling a guard and trapping a linebacker or cracking back on somebody. They have no problem with that, but they're not doing enough to protect that. But you pull a guard and bring him across the line, only to take out somebody that has no idea where that guard is coming from. And all of a sudden they meet midfield, but that guard knows that he's going to hit that guy. But that defensive tackle on the other side that made it through the line and gets squashed because nobody picked him up and the ball was snapped, how are they going to protect that? And it gets silly. It gets really silly.
On a couple of pass plays, I've seen with guys who ended up hitting helmet, but they had opportunity to intercept the ball. And that's what I get,
right?
Playing the defensive back in my day, that's a pick. But he wanted to hit him instead of picking him off.
Right.
And that's why I get confused. I'm like, okay, he wanted to mash him, instead of, helping his team out,
Right.
And if they stop celebrating, maybe it won't bring that much attention to it anymore with a hard hit, just run, come right to the huddle and forget about the hit, But these guys want to do their line dance around the guy that hit, and he's laying there, in a coma.
Right.
That's what the league doesn't want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, are you going to do this as this game is being played, or are you going to go back on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and go back through these games and go, oh, I think that was a blatant hit right there. I think that was just a little bit more than what the NFL should allow. How are you going
to... Right, I mean, how are you going to retroactively regulate intent?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How are you going to... Not only are you trying to judge intent, are you asking refs to judge intent in the moment by flagging cats for it or whatever? But then, retroactively, you're going to go back and review tapes and say, oh, well, he looked like that was premeditated. Of course it was premeditated. He's been trying to kill this cat all game.
My theory is defensive players,
man, they're going to start, thinking about this stuff. In the middle of the tackle, that split second, they're going to move their head so they won't get the helmet. And you're going to have higher neck injuries on defense because of apprehension. You really are. Because that split decision, you can be like, oh, I can't. Oh, almost someone helmet. You're going to jerk around and boom, there goes your collarbone or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, like, flag the guys who have a history of helmet to helmet. Look at them over the history in the league and say, okay, this guy's blatant. You can't do it again. Like, it's like three strikes. It's like technical fouls, whatever. Okay, you're blatant for this. We went over your last 16 ball games, and you are a helmet tackler. Change your technique.
Absolutely, but again,
it's like when I can't remember, was it Tauscher that Sapp hit? Wasn't it Tauscher?
I think it was Clifton. I think it was Clifton. He blindsided. Either way, he laid old boy out.
It wasn't really blindsided. He was watching the play.
Yeah.
He was watching the play as an offensive lineman in an area that you can get hit. Now, are you going to review that on Monday and say, oh, that's a $50,000 fine?
I hate it. Like last year, the horse collar, and even if he's in the moment, God get by you, you're going to reach out and you're going to grab his shoulder pads. A lot of leg injuries because of it.
Like I said, back in my day, that was a tackle. That wasn't a horse collar.
Yeah.
That was a tackle. I played defensive end. If the play was going the other way, I didn't have to try to go three more steps to grab him by the waist. I didn't have to worry about wrapping him up with two arms. If I could grab that shoulder pad and choke his ass back, that was a tackle. That's all it was. I didn't mean for him to have a leg injury. But if you study this stuff, you'll find that there's injuries in every way that you can be tackled. Everywhere that you can make a block, are they going to come out and say, you can't block below the knees? You can't roll anybody anymore? What are you going to do with this football? What are you going to call it?
Hello?
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 We got everybody.
Okay.
They like the head slap. Now the older players do the head slap because the other guy's disoriented. They ban that.
Right.
Like, he just slapped on his helmet.
Right.
So I don't know what the league's going to do, what they should do. I don't know how they're going to police it. But whatever they do, it's going to be wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to get in the final word on this subject. And we're going to thank Rick for hanging out with us for a little bit, and then we're going to move on to recapping the games from this week. But, I just think it's mad hypocritical to want to legislate these hits and say because you're worried about the safety of the players, but then at the other side of your mouth talk about increasing the amount of games. And I think the NFL again, is, as D said, you're at that point of saturation where, they may be at that point where the NFL is about to jump the shark because they're just trying to do too much. They're messing with something that's working. You got a formula that's working. Just keep rolling with that. Right now, the ratings aren't going down. Nothing is – you're trying to improve upon excellent, you know what I'm saying? And I applaud the effort, but sometimes when you do that, you lead yourself astray, okay? You wind up going in a totally different direction than what your intent was, and you wind up ruining something that was damn near perfect. So with that said, you know, I'm gonna thank Rick for Rick from A Square. That's what you call it. That's what y'all call it out there.
Oh,
D,
yeah.
I caught that. Yeah. That's what y'all call it out there. Appreciate you for getting on with the Real Sports Guys. Encourage you to call back sometime. If we hit another topic that you want to jump in on later tonight, feel free to call back in. All right?
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
One more thing. Before we just walk off of this topic, just let me say this. You know, I want to hear more from the players. I want to hear what the players really think. I don't think that some of these things should be legislated through Goodall, you know, in the front office. I think that I want to know how the defensive and offensive players feel about this. You know, even Clifton said that the hit that Fat had put on him was a legal hit. You know,
right.
So I mean, I want to hear from the players. I want them to chime in and say some things. You know,
yeah, and they need to. And if nothing else, DeMar Smith from the Players Union needs to weigh in. I don't know which side of this he's going to weigh in on, but I think he has to weigh in on the side of cats losing money. Because offensive players are not going to lose game checks, money over. I mean, they find Brian, whatever the boy's name, Merriweather from New England, $50,000. That's
a nice little time.
You know, this is much like the NBA, you know, and their new rule this year where the players can't, you know, jump on the ref for a bad call.
Sorry, ain't that some dumb shit?
I'm sorry.
I mean, that's just dumb, man. Come on, man.
And if it gets to be that blatant, if it's that blatantly disrespectful, you can throw that guy out.
The one thing I want to add on that is sometimes you might want to do this, but you ain't got to – the one mistake is you ain't got to get a bullhorn out and say we're going to do that.
Right.
Because what ends up happening is they've had NFL guys come out here and talk about it, and what they're saying is they're going to enforce the rules that are already there. Well, if you're going to do that, then why did you make the announcement?
Yeah.
Part of
right.
Even from a PR standpoint, I'm saying if you want to do it,
all you need to do is send a memo to the refs.
Yeah.
Send a memo to the refs. Say tighten it up.
Yeah.
And we just going to go ahead and do our thing.
That's right. I mean, you ain't got to make a public declaration on what you're going to do. To me, from a PR standpoint, that's a mistake.
Sometimes people forget too much information is too much information.
Too
much.
And again, $50,000 to some of these players is a drop in the bucket, but $50,000 to some of these players is you know, on a 4-year career, that's a huge dent. You know,
it's just the mentality that you're asking me to have all of a sudden. You know,
right.
It's not even the $50,000 that I'm losing, it's the $50,000. It's the millions of dollars that I might lose because now I'm missing tackles.
Right.
And now I'm getting
my ass cut because I can't tackle no more.
I can't tackle
exactly.
effectively no more.
It's the $10 million that
but
I'm
then
missing.
But damn, the $50,000, you costing me millions because now I look like a sorry-ass tackler.
Right.
So
if I'm one of them, I'm getting me a sponsor who's going to pay my fines.
For real. I'm going to match my fines in charity. So I can try to get my money back. That's what I'm going to do. If I get a $50,000 fine, I'm going to donate $50,000 to somebody. See if I can't write that off.
I've never heard one NFL player that has injured, hospitalized, or worse, ever say afterwards that, yeah, that was exactly what I intended to do. I tried to break his neck.
Right.
Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's
right.
ever said that. Nobody's
right.
standing
Tatum
over
didn't
that
apologize,
guy.
But Tatum never said he wanted to end Stingley's right. career. You know, he did say,
all
yeah, I was trying to take him out. You know, I was trying to put some harm upon him. But I wasn't trying to
tell you
have
that
him
I tried
wheelchair.
To hit people as hard as, you know, he was honest. He said, I hit him as hard
yeah.
as I could hit him. You know,
yeah.
because that's
I mean,
exactly what they were trying to do to him. What's that?
About what Lawrence Taylor, what Lawrence Taylor did to Theismann. He was the first one waving over to people to come to the field when he was hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
So he tried to get to him, but when he realized he was really hurt, he was the first one waving over.
And LT showed that amount of restraint and concern, coked up.
Yeah.
You know he was blown out of his mind.
At first he probably thought he was seeing three legs and you know. This is a chicken or a goose.
He didn't know what the hell he was saying. Before we get into these other games, did anybody hear what came from RefFire's meeting up in Minnesota today?
I can look it up real quick.
They said anything about?
It wasn't me.
Right. I still haven't looked at the pictures. I don't know if I'll ever look at them, but from the reports, this man was sitting there with some Crocs on, some orange Crocs. Come on, Brett. You Brett freaking Favre, man. Come on, you can do better than that.
I've had an opportunity to read a little bit more about this situation, and I'm wondering what Goodall is going to be able to do to him, you know, for what appears to be a first-time offense by a non-complainant. You know, this young lady didn't come forward with this complaint. Somebody else brought this to the fore, and, you know, the NFL now has to respond to it. But, you know, unlike the Roth, you know, unlike Ben's situation, you know, this will be the first time that he has to deal with Brett on this particular situation. You know, and they keep talking about, you know, perhaps his game record is in jeopardy and all of these things. And I wonder if there's an appeal to this. I wonder, you know, if he can appeal this through the seat. I think Brett's done for the, you know, I think he's done after this year, you know. And I as much as, you know, I rapped him pretty hard last week, you know, this is going to be a precedent. And how do you really deal with this situation? You know, it would appear, you know, that the Jets are in more trouble for having hired an individual that might do something like this than Brett is for actually doing it. Because apparently in every harassment complaint, you know, there needs to be somebody saying, please don't call me anymore. And we're not hearing about that. You know,
right.
We aren't hearing her say, you know, yeah, he called me and I told him not to call me anymore and he kept calling me and then he sent me these pictures. Then you have a situation of harassment. But, you know, there is a, you know, how did they phrase it? They said, it doesn't hurt to ask clause. You know, if you're in a working relationship with somebody, you can ask them for a date and not be charged, you know, if they say no and you continue to create an environment of harassment, that's exactly what it is.
Right.
If they say no, but we're not hearing any of that. And so as these things unfold, you know, I'm anxious to hear the rest of the story because in as much as I think it's ridiculous to what he's done, does the NFL have the right to punish him for this? You know, do they really have the right to punish him for this?
At the end of the day, I say no. And I'm all for punishing cats. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Just suspending dudes for all types of silly stuff, but this is just dumb. I could care less, man. I really could. So he sent the picture of his thing to somebody. Whooped
you
down.
You know, and what door does this open?
I ain't got to explain it to my kids. I ain't got to explain it to nobody because it ain't nothing. You know, people always use excuses. What type of example is he setting? Damn it, don't have your kids be Brett Favre, okay? Brett Favre is not your child, and your child is not Brett Favre. You should not want your child to be Brett Favre. Well, speaking of Brett Favre, let's get into this Vikings Cowboys game real quick. You know, I'm looking at the picks. D went Cowboys, right? D went Cowboys. What did I have in here for my picks? D went Cowboys. I went Vikings, and Ray, it looks like you went with. Ray went with the Vikings over the Cowgirls, as he put it.
That's right. No Cowgirls.
So Devon, you came out on the wrong end of this one. So we're going to let you go first, Devon, and explain your train of thought and why you thought the Cowboys even had a shot, man.
Because I thought defensively, both teams are similar defensively. I just felt like overall the Cowboys are coming off what they had a bye would come with somewhat of a plan. This might be the one game that they would come with a plan. And I figured if they didn't come with a plan, then we're going to watch them burn. They're basically going to hit the ground. And that's what they're doing right now. They're burning. Who knew they were going to leapfrog over everybody? That part I didn't know. I couldn't anticipate that they were going to do a leapfrog. I didn't know I was going for the vaudeville act, or I didn't know I was doing all that. But
that wasn't even a bad celebration. I actually appreciated that celebration. I actually didn't mind that celebration one bit, man. And I'm mad that they got flagged for it. Because it was simple. Like, he just jumped over the guy, man. I mean, I don't get it. The NFL just kills me with that, man. Just, so what? He jumped over the dude. Celebrate, man. That wasn't that bad. Now, when Miles Austin caught that touchdown pass and then they got a holding penalty, that's what's been killing the Cowboys right there. Because
right.
I've watched the Cowboys probably 3 times this year. And every time I've watched them, they've had at least one touchdown in every game called back on a holding penalty. Every time.
And that's the problem. That's discipline. That's head coaching. Those things don't happen to a Mike Tomlin coach team for the most part. You just ain't going to tolerate it. You got to correct it. Those things don't happen with Belichick. You got to correct it. Those certain things just don't happen. They don't happen that much to Andy Reid. You don't correct it. So at a certain point, you know, either Wade, you know, Wade is not controlling the ship. That means these casters do what they want to do. So, hey, that's the last time I'm going to pick the Cowboys. I should have known better.
Yeah. So that's on you, man. And just watching the game, the Cowboys, I mean, they look a mess. They look a mess. They actually look good at moments. But because they look good at moments, that's what makes them look so bad when they mess up. Because it's like, y'all are too good for this. Y'all really are too talented.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with the talent. The Cowboys, to me, just don't have the talent where you need to have the talent. If I'm building a football team, Romo isn't one of my top 10 quarterbacks that I'm going to build my team around. Jones is not my running back. You know, I like Collie, but, you know, again, I just don't see Dallas having the talent. Dallas did not have the talent to beat the Vikings. And
now, see, that's why I disagree with you, Ray. I think they do have talent. Jones is a solid NFL running back. I think they just got dumb coaching. I think the coaching doesn't know how to utilize what they have in front of them. Roy Williams is playing the best he's played in his career. And don't forget that this was a guy who was a top 10 draft pick, first round pick. He does have a ton of talent, and he's finally starting to use it. Miles Austin may be one of the top 2 receivers in the league right now. Marion Barber is a good running back, but again, they don't know what the hell they're doing. And Romo's a serviceable quarterback. I'm not a big Romo fan either. I don't think Romo's that great. With everything around him, he's a serviceable quarterback. And Witten is a top 5 tight end in the league. So offensively, they have a ton of talent. And the offensive line is solid. I just think the coaches are
the analogy I gave you for a basketball team. You take these 2 teams, you mix them up, you start picking. You know, as old as Brett is, I'm going to choose him over Tony Romo. If you're going to ask me which running back I want Adrian Peterson. If you're going to ask me which wide receiver I want Randy Moss. If you ask me which tight end I want.
But then do you want any other Vikings after that?
You don't want any other.
Other Vikings after that? Because you can still – you still got all – after you take those 3 – because those three guys are Peterson has a way to go, but right now he's probably the best back in the league, and Moss is probably one of the top 3 receivers all the time, and Favre is probably one of the top 5 QBs all the time. So you're going to take those 3. But then after that, you're probably picking off Cowboys.
You're going to tell me that Witten is that much better than Shanko?
Yes, because Shanko has not done anything without Brett Favre in his career. When he has not played with Brett Favre, he has not produced. Now, Witten has played, has been good before Romo. Witten was good before Romo. Witten is a proven NFL tight end. Shanko has been good because he's got a good quarterback.
For the last 3 years, Shanko has caught more touchdown passes than any tight end. Look it up. You must be sitting in front of a computer. And he's only been with Brett for a year. He catches touchdowns. He can play that tight end position.
Yeah, but I'm not taking him over Witten.
Yeah, I'm still not taking him over Witten, because if you look at Witten's numbers, I guarantee Witten's probably in the top two of receptions of tight ends.
Sure.
And receiving yards amongst tight ends in the last 5 or 6 years.
But again, how much more is that going to change the game? Again, you talk about the three positions that we've already talked
about.
Ray,
I'm going to use the eyeball test. When I look at both teams, Dallas has the fast twitch. They got the talent. On defense, they got some aggressive guys. When you look at the package, they have a team that should be producing more. And
sure.
My biggest thing with them is they don't have an identity on offense.
Exactly.
So they haven't figured out whether they want to run, whether they want to pass. They should be running the ball more. They just don't run the ball consistently enough. Their game plan on offense, there is no game plan in my mind. Versus their defense, like, it has a game plan, but it just has to hold together an offense that ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. See, Ray, there's talk about the Packers going out and making a trade for Marion Barber. If the Packers get Marion Barber and they utilize Marion Barber, you would have a totally different opinion of him if he were on the Packers. Because he would probably be getting utilized in a different way than he is with the Cowboys. And you would probably think he was a better back than you think he is with the Cowboys.
Part of that is the opportunity that the rest of the offense is being accounted for. The rest of the offense has to be accounted for. Right now, you know, the way that the Cowboys are playing, it's hard for them to establish a run or a pass, because they're not clicking in either direction.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
I'm not arguing on that.
To me, that's coaching. That's coaching and not knowing how to use what you got. Because I think they have the ingredients to bake a cake.
Sure.
They have the chefs who know how to use the ingredients. Is the problem?
Perhaps I'm not having you understand. You know, again, at the beginning of the year, they talked about this Cowboys team as if they had a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. And I never saw that.
I don't buy that either. That's just ESPN trying to get people to click on ESPN Dallas. They have an ESPN Dallas website, so they have to pump up the Cowboys. They got to talk about the Jets and the Giants.
Right.
They have to talk about the Bears. Even if they don't have a shot, they're going to talk about the Cowboys. Just because the Cowboys are like Notre Dame. If Notre Dame sucks, you talk about them. If they're good, you talk about them. If they're mediocre, you talk about them. Why? Because people going to care.
But I see so many other teams with more talent in the NFL than the Cowboys. So it doesn't distress me, it doesn't upset me that the Cowboys haven't won as much as everyone thinks they should have, because I don't think that they have the talent that makes them one of the elite teams. And if you're going to go into somebody else's house, even in Minnesota with the problems that they've had, you better have the talent. And if you can't match up, you don't really have that chance. And the Cowboys aren't winning, you know, period. But unless they overwhelm a team with talent, they're not going to win. They're not going to get lucky against a good team.
But when you look at it, I mean, the difference is the turnovers and the penalties. I mean, Favre only had 118 yards passing and one touchdown. Peterson had 73 yards rushing. And next biggest was Percy Harvin at 18 yards rushing. Moss only had 50 yards receiving, no touchdowns. I mean, you look at Romo threw for 220 yards. He had 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. You know, they're not running the football. Felix Jones, he had 10 receptions for 61 yards. But, I mean, they offensively were getting stuff done, but they killed themselves. And to me, that's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
That is indeed coaching.
Huh?
Anytime you have penalties of that magnitude, that is coaching.
I mean, there's nothing on Minnesota's offensive side of the ball that they did.
exceptionally well.
You know, for the rest of the year, you know, and I said it last week, and I'll say it again, you know, Dallas is, you know, Dallas is not one of those teams that are going to come back. You know, this is, I think Dallas is done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
They'll be mediocre for the rest of the year. Rather it's coaching, rather it's talent, they just, you know, somewhere along the line, this Dallas team with this coaching staff is destined to be a very mediocre team for the rest of the year. And and so be it. I mean, I wasn't on their bandwagon at the beginning of the year. I didn't agree with some of the pundits who talked about them as a Super Bowl type talent. Dallas is, you know, exactly who I thought they were, and that's, you know, that's not a very good football team at all.
And I agree, and I'm in the same boat as Ray. You know, I just didn't. I never bought into the hype. I didn't understand the hype. I kind of could see the Jets hype. You know, I could eyeball the Jets and say, okay, I could see why somebody would pump this team up. But as far as the Cowboys go, I just wasn't sold, and I haven't sold to this point.
I will say I didn't buy into the hype. What I bought in was, well, my thing was this game. So I think my preseason, I wasn't a big Cowboys fan, but I bought in the Cowboys for this game because they both were terrible. But I thought they would at least step up this game.
And
so they moved me.
You know, I think the Vikings have the ability and the opportunity to come around more so than Dallas. You know, I don't think you've seen the best of the Vikings yet this year. Nobody falls off as far as they've fallen off. So.
Yeah, I agree. So let's move on to the next game. We got the Ravens and the Patriots. We got the Ravens and the Pats. The Pats pulled it out. I had the Pats. Ray had the Ravens. And Devon, you had picked. Who did you pick, man? Who did you pick? You picked the Ravens also. So, again, I'm right. And you guys are not.
All right, now.
Are you sure you really want to think you're winning this, Devon?
You
open two right now. You open two. Ray got one under his belt. You got none, man. You got zero.
Marcus, what did you know that we didn't know? What are you going to tell us you knew that we didn't know?
You know what, man? I'm not gonna say that I knew anything. I'm gonna say that I felt it was gonna be a close game, and if I had to pick between two quarterbacks to win a close game, I'm taking Brady. Because I didn't feel like there was that much separation between these two teams, especially with the Pats being at home. And so with that, I felt like if it's gonna be a close game, it's gonna come down to the wire. If I got to put some money down on this, if I got to put something on it, I'm going with Brady over Flacco. It was as simple as that.
Here's where I messed up. Here's where I know I made my mistake. And my mistake was underestimating the ability of Deion Bryant to come back home to the Patriots and be effective. I had no idea. And I posted it that way. You know,
And you know what, man? I'm in the same boat as you. I didn't think he was going to produce anything. I really did.
You know, I really wasn't.
I did not pick the Patriots on the basis of I thought Deion Branch was going to have a big game. I didn't think he'd be a factor at all.
What I realized is that, you know, I always thought Deion Branch had a lot of talent. I always felt that he was a good receiver. But now I realize that much of his abilities, you know, he didn't have much success up in Seattle. But with a system that he knows and a quarterback that he's comfortable with, Deion Branch is a hell of a receiver. And I didn't think that he would be able to come back and do that with less than a week of practice. But he put it on like an old shoe. He put it on like he was wearing slippers. And they beat a damn good football team. That's one of those, I looked at that, and it's exactly the reason I thought that, you know, without an established running game, not knowing who was going to carry the ball for him really well, and having him be on Branch for less than a week, after having watched, you know, Favre and Moss try to put something together, I didn't think Branch would be that effective. And he came out and played a hell of a ball game. Brady was as effective as Brady can be. And they beat a hell of a football team. So my hat's off to him. I can't take anything away from what the Patriots did. That's, you know, that's just a loss I got to take. You know, I understand my mistake. I saw it. You know, I realized where it came from. And that was my underestimation of what they could do.
Well, I would say this. I mean, this is the Patriots, and I felt like over the long run they were going to be a better team because they're better. The Patriots are, I said this last year, I mean last week, that they're good when you can't really game plan against them. So now people, they don't have any real threats that appear, but you don't know where they're going to go. And that's what Belichick is at his best. And then Brady's back there just kind of dealing the deck. So, but I thought it would be like a week before they could get on top of it. And again, the Ravens, they disappoint me. So, you know, they're not consistent enough to you know, they want to be with the big boys, but I don't know if they can really stop with the big dogs.
Just so you know,
I mean, New England's tough at home. New England's tough at home.
Right. Yeah,
you
but
know, New England.
If you want to be a dominant team, that's a game you win.
I mean, they lost it in overtime. They lost the game in overtime.
Yeah, but that's a game.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't write them off. I wouldn't write them off.
No,
you know, but I think they lost. I think that's a game that they. It's only a loss if they don't learn anything from that. You know, thinking from it from a coaching perspective. You know, that's a game that you play hard against one of the tougher teams in the league. At home, you took them down to the wire, and you had them. You had them on the ropes. And I think part of that, you know, Baltimore has a veteran defense, but on the other side of the ball, they have veteran players, but that is still a fairly new unit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As far as playing together and having history together, that's still a fairly new unit with Hushmanzada and Bolden coming in. Flacco and Ray Rice are still young players.
I would say that's true for New England's defense. I mean, New England's defense is pretty much a young. I mean, they got a couple of veteran pieces, but they're a fairly new unit. And when you look at that, you're thinking, if I got to look at that, then I'm gonna go with Bolden and Hushmanzada.
But you also know that young guys and role players play well at home.
Yeah.
Across all the boards in all sports, role players and young guys play well at home, and they can come through when the crowd is behind them. What they do on the road is different.
Yeah, but the only young guy on that Braves defense really is Flacco. Other than that, you got veterans. Rice is young, but I mean he's running. But the receivers, I mean, he gonna run. When you young, just get the ball, run forward. You know,
if you didn't learn anything from the game. It's too late in our league. But anybody out there that needs a receiver better go pick up Deion Branch. I grabbed him.
Yeah.
In our league.
Yeah.
If anybody out there playing fantasy football, you better snatch up Deion Branch. He's probably available in every league that I'm not in, because every league that I'm in, I snatch his ass up.
All right, so let's move on to the next game from last week. We had who else do we have? The Eagles versus the Falcons. Ray went with the Falcons. I took the Falcons. I don't know why I did that.
you love Atlanta.
Let's see who Devon took.
You sold me on Atlanta.
The Falcons. And I even called them. I called them Team Smoke and Mirrors, man, because they've been getting it done, and you just don't quite know how they've been getting it done.
And I wasn't buying it. And I argued this, gentlemen, and I rushed to do these picks, man, and I knew. Because I argued against the Falcons last week when we were talking about it.
Right.
I was rushing to get the picks in. A couple of these picks were rushed, man.
I'm going to
stop doing it.
No. What did it say in the opening? What did Ray say in the opening? We don't make any excuses. We're not going to make any excuses.
We made an excuse here because you took the tape. I argued against these fools, man. This is like in fantasy, never take Denver Bronco running backs with Shanahan. You just don't go with the Falcons.
I got.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna pick the Falcons the week I don't want to pick them.
Yeah, this is terrible. Matty Ice, whatever.
Now, is he overrated or what, man? He's just kind of a blase. I mean, he's just kind of blah. I mean, he hasn't had any moments yet, you know, where it's like, yo, this dude is the real deal. He hasn't had any of those moments to me yet, you know, and neither has Flacco. But, you know, they both kind of – people are touting them as that next, you know, those quarterbacks that are next to jump into that upper echelon. I just don't see it.
I can't spend no more time on this game. It was, you know, Philly is one of those teams that just is kind of scary because as they switch their quarterbacks and as they do different things, they look like a completely different team. And Kolb is like one game away from, you know, starting a controversy, I think.
I mean, I don't know if there's a controversy with that as much as, you know, I heard Marcel Swally said, you know, it's just a difference. When you see Vic, he said, even when you're an opposing player, you go get Gatorade, and instead of sitting on the bench, you get that Gatorade and stand on the sidelines because you just think something's going to happen when Vic is in the game. You don't even sit down on the bench. And I just think their chance to win, they want a chance to win long, you know, it depends. He got to make a decision whether he's trying to rebuild or if he sees an opportunity to win. Their division is so up for grabs, you know, that they have
I think Andy Reid is in a beautiful place, you know.
Yeah.
I think that he realizes that he really can't make too terrible of a decision. Now, Cole played a terrible first game, but he's played some pretty good games after that. And realizing that you got Michael Vick coming back, you know, I would be on the phone. I would be trying to sell somebody, you know. Michael Vick's got plenty of years left in him. I wouldn't keep Kolb on my bench for nothing. I would trade his ass in a heartbeat. Because I think right now there's a ton of teams that are looking at that, you know, as, you know, an opportunity to snatch up a young quarterback. I mean, I think Kolb is a better quarterback than Kasaw. And you remember when he was playing, you know, as a backup, how everybody wanted to, you know, jump on his bandwagon and put him on his team. But I don't know. I think that I think Andy Reid is in heaven right now, realizing that, you know, most teams don't know what they're doing as far as their quarterback situation. Should one go down, every other team is fretting it. You know, but
yeah,
you know, he's in a situation.
Well, I'll tell you what Andy Reid is going to do. He's going to do what he just did last summer and trade Vic at the end of the season for some draft picks, just like he did Donovan McNabb.
Well,
that's what he's going to do. He's going to play Vic. He's going to play Vic during the season. Let Vic
increase
move him.
But I bet it ain't going to be within the division. He ain't going to make that change.
Oh, hell no. He ain't going to do that. Because if there's a guy you don't want to see in your division, it's Mike Vic.
No.
He changes the – I mean, that's a headache for your defensive coordinator. Because he changes the entire way in which you have to plan.
But I think the beauty of it, like Duval was saying, you know, if the guys would grab Gatorade and go stand on the sideline and watch it, as a football fan, you can't turn the channel when Michael Vick is on the field. You just can't turn the channel because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's exciting to watch.
So here's the other thing that happened in this game is – you know, DeSean Jackson got cracked.
Yeah.
I mean, straight cracked. So, is he playing this week or what?
They said that Dolly's been playing, but I'm not going to say anything about karma, but he was talking all that junk about Donovan. And sometimes that stuff just comes back to haunt you. Nobody, but he was talking all that junk about Donovan. And he went out like he just got out of the MMA fight. He was just like,
hey, yeah, boy got cracked. I mean, boy got cracked something nasty.
Somebody wake him up.
Yeah, that was dirty. I mean, that was and it was just a good clean old fashioned break your face hit. It really was just good clean old fashioned break your face hit.
Yeah. And it was like, the whole time he's running, you're like, sit down in the zone. Sit down.
You fast, but you ain't that fast. I see you.
And it was like he sized him up from like way across the field. Like, okay, here he comes.
Yep.
He gave him that peekaboo hit. He was like, peekaboo.
I'm watching it right now, man. This dude got cracked.
But that's the thing about ESPN. They keep showing it over and over again.
That's
like,
what I'm saying, man.
I was working out this morning at 5 in the morning. You asked why I'm up at 5 in the morning. But they showed it from every angle like 10 times. I'm like, at that third point, I was like, why you keep showing this?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, DeSean Jackson's mama somewhere is just shaking her head. Oh, my baby. Oh my baby. That, yeah, you I don't care how fast, I don't care what you're running the 40. You can't escape that, man. That was just vicious. It was vicious. And man. So yeah.
He now officially runs a 4.7.
If that brother could count to 7 in 4 seconds, I would be happy right now. Because his mind should not be right. His mind should be scrambled, man. It should be straight scrambled. So the other game we all had, and I think we all went in on the Colts. I don't think anybody in their right mind picked the Redskins in that game. And we had to pick a fourth game, so we went with the Colts versus the Redskins. We all took the Colts, and the Colts won because they are the Colts and the Redskins are the Redskins.
But
I watched some of that game, man. And Peyton Manning, I mean, he just does his thing, man. It really is fun to watch him get up to the line of scrimmage and really orchestrate that team. Because they come up, and he's in the shotgun, and if he sees something he don't like, they run a draw play. It's like clockwork. Up, here comes a draw. If they need to run it, it's a draw play. You know, if they pass it, I mean, he had good numbers. The Colts would have beat the brakes off of them if Garcon had to drop the cover. I mean, they had some drops, the Colts
right.
did. They'd have beat the brakes off of the Redskins without those drops. But, you know, Peyton keeps clicking, man. He just gets the job done.
But the thing about them, though, is that they – I don't want to call them soft, but when they do get up against them smack-mouth teams, you know, that's when they have their problems. You know, when they can go across the middle and get hurt, or when they can play a team that they can pretty much manhandle, they just business-like, you know, just go out there in a business-like manner and just dismantle a team. The way that you beat the Colts is you get nasty with them, because I don't think they'll get nasty back, you know. They it's like a gentleman's team, you know. And there's not a lot of room for that, you know, when you have to play a Baltimore or a Pittsburgh or somebody that don't always, I don't want to say always play fair. They don't always play nice. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, and that's the thing with the Colts is that they need a few more, you know, I hate to put it this way, but they need a few more cats to get arrested on the team. I mean, you need a few more criminals on the squad.
Right.
You can't have a bunch of Bible thumpers out there thinking you're gonna go out there and win in this league. You know, you got a league full of madmen, you know. All of these guys are probably 60-70% madmen inside. And, you know, when you got a bunch of rational human beings out there, they don't stand a chance against madmen. Not
at
on
least
Sunday
if
afternoon.
They would just do it on the other side of the ball so that they would have something to get excited about.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand because they are in such control. Peyton Manning is in such control of that team. Caldwell is in such control of that team. You know, it's like watching a beautiful passing offense in basketball, you know, where everybody
mm-hmm.
knows their spots, the positioning is right, the spacing is correct, and then they just go out there and thump you. You know,
mm-hmm.
but they're just nice. They're just nice guys.
Yeah.
If they would get, you know, if they could do that, you know, if they could reverse that and just be, you know, gangbusters on the other side, you know, just so that,
mm-hmm.
because the offense would play off of that too. You know, they would somehow
right.
you know, do something a little bit harder, you know, smack somebody a little bit harder.
Right.
Because right now they get intimidated and pushed around by teams that come in with a reputation of being, you know, a smash mouth team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, with that said, let's move on. So, I went 3-1 this week. Ray, you went 2-2. And Devon, you went 2-2, right? Did you only get one, Devon?
I got one, I think.
Way to go, Swami.
Are we counting our college games as well?
Oh, yeah, we can go to the college games. But that's in the league games. We can go into college games next, but I'm going to preview this game, week 7 games. So
okay.
For the NFL, you went 1-3, dog.
Okay.
So you go hang that up in the living room. You go put that on the refrigerator.
But what I want to say is, get the summary of the record up until this point.
I'm gonna have to compile that, man. I'm getting a catch at the Live Sports Bureau on that right now. They're gonna compile the statistics.
Get them on it. It ain't how you begin; it's how you finish. I'm a four quarter player, so.
Okay. Well, let's see what you got this week. All right. Let's see what you got this week. All right. So for week 7, we got Pittsburgh and Miami, which I think is gonna be a physical, highly contested football game. We have Philadelphia at Tennessee, so another road test for the Eagles. With a physical team in Tennessee. We'll see if Vince Young is available for that one. And then we also have Minnesota at Green Bay, which is going to be grand. That's just going to be great at Lambeau. And we have the Giants at Dallas, Monday night, Cowboys Stadium. And I'll throw in one more to give Dee a chance to catch up. And New England at San Diego, which is going to be interesting because San Diego is up against the ropes right now. You know, sitting at 2-4, that's a team that has should be better than 2-4. But again, they got one of those coaches that D likes to say, you know, great coordinator, not such a good coach in North. You know, North Turner. So let's get into these next week games. Let's start out with Pittsburgh and Miami. In Miami. Sun Life Stadium, the stadium with a nightclub inside. I don't know if y'all heard about that, but, yeah, they got a nightclub inside the stadium in Miami. Miami's a hot town right now, man. Miami's like the Southern Vegas. You know,
yeah.
Miami's a hot town right now. I couldn't be a professional athlete in Miami, but that's neither here nor there. Who y'all got winning this game? I'm going to throw this to one Ray first. Ray, what you got?
Well, I got to try to stay ahead of Devon, and I know who he's going to take. So, you know, I've always liked the home team. I start off with that. And when they're close enough, you know, it's going to be very hard for, you know, Pittsburgh to go into Miami and win this game, even though I think they're a better team. That home field is something that you have to take into account. Now, Pittsburgh's got Ben back. You know, there's a lot of reasons that I should go the other way. But I'll take Miami at this game, in this game at home. I think that they do have, you know, they do have some weapons. What's that? And the past
step out
around a little bit. So I think Miami.
Okay. So Ray's going Miami. What about you, Devon? Who you rolling with in this game?
I'm going with Mike Tomlin. We gonna do it again. You know, we like he said, he got the first guy gets to the ball.
Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Hello?
Did we lose Devon?
I don't know. I think we may have. Hold on,
Lightning struck his ass.
I guess so. So it looks like we lost Devon in the middle of his picks. I guess somebody else don't want him to make his pick neither. So I think there's a conspiracy against Devon right now making his pick. Hello, Devon, you there? Nah, I guess not. So Devon's out like a light right now. Hopefully he get back in. We'll wait for him to call. Hopefully he calls it. Hopefully he figures out he's not talking to nobody right now.
Right.
But you so I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna actually go with Pittsburgh too, man. I think Miami's coming off a big win. And as much as I want to go against Devon, I don't think this is the game. I think Pittsburgh is gonna get him.
I think Pittsburgh is you know one of the top three teams in all of football right now. So
yeah, and I think Dick LeBeau's gonna confuse the hell out of Henny. I think Henny's just gonna lose his mind back there and not be able to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, because if there's one team that will pool their money and pay the fines for some of these hits, it's Pittsburgh.
Oh hell yeah!
Because they don't know how to play any other way. You know?
Oh absolutely.
They're gonna smack you
up.
They're gonna smack you up.
Absolutely.
Everybody on the team gets fined. I could see them, you know, like everybody divvying up.
Yeah, absolutely. For real. I'm going to see if I can get Devon back on the line real quick. Let me see if I can dial him up. Hold on one second, Ray.
Yep.
PA number and a brief message, and I'll return your call as soon as possible.
Hey, Devon, it's the show. You're not on. Call us back, B. Oh, man.
See, that's that iPhone, you know.
Yeah, see, that's that technology right there.
Too much glitch. I got a $3 Motorola. I can throw it in water and talk to anybody I want to.
All right, we're going to keep rolling. We're going to keep rolling. You know how we do
okay.
here. You know, a little technical difficulty. We're going to keep it rolling. We're going to go on to the next game. So Philly, Tennessee. Philly coming off a big win against Atlanta on the road. Can they do it again?
Tennessee coming off a big win. You know, after
yeah,
losing their quarterback.
Yeah, they took it to Jacksonville.
Is Vic going to play?
It sounds like, right now, it sounds like Cobb is the likely starter. But
okay.
Who knows if he's going to, how that's going to play out.
You want to make it
a conditional? You want to make a conditional pick? If Vic plays, he's going this way.
No
if he
excuses.
Doesn't play, you're going this way?
No excuses. I think that's
the man had to quote himself.
Right, exactly.
No excuses. We don't make no excuses.
I like that home team. You know, I like the idea that that Johnson seems to be running the ball now. They are doing their thing, and when they do their thing, they're a very good football team. Philly, they are playing good football. You know, I think they're playing without their starting quarterback, as well as Pittsburgh was playing without their starting quarterback. And having said that, I still think Tennessee, because they keep it simple. They can afford to lose their quarterback. They know where their bread is buttered, and I think it'll be enough to beat Philly. So.
Yeah.
I'll take Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee on this one also. I think Tennessee is the more physical team. I think the running game is just going to pound. I think the lines are going to pound the Eagles' lines. The Eagles' lines are good, but I don't think they're that great. Tennessee's defensive line gets after it. They get after the quarterback. They create a lot of pressure. And the Eagles' offensive line, especially up the middle, is kind of soft right now. They've been playing well. But I think Tennessee is going to bring a different kind of pressure. And they're going to be without Jackson, who's a huge big play threat for them. So that's one card out the game. I think whether they have Vic or Cobb, I think they're going to be I think they're going to get out physical in this game. So I'm going with the home team, too, on that particular game. So the next game we got is New England at San Diego. So New England's rolling out to San Diego. San Diego is kind of falling into that Dallas trap, man. They seem like a desperate team. You know, this week they lost. Last week they lost. Did they lose to the St. Louis Rams?
Right.
You know, they lost to the St. Louis Rams. And I will give the – I don't mean to slight the Rams when I say that for all the Rams fans that listen to the show.
But they know they ain't no
but,
good.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't. I mean, the Rams have won, three games, and I wouldn't have predicted them to win three games. And I will take my hat off and say Sam Bradford looks like a legitimate NFL quarterback.
Right, and a great pick. You know,
you
have to be enthusiastic for a franchise that was so great that fell so far. If they can, put a few more pieces together, kind of like the Lions, You have to be excited about what the NFL is going to look.
Maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Man, Devon's phone, man.
Hey, I'm here. You got me?
Are you still there?
Yeah.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message.
Hold on, Devon, man.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
You got me?
What that just happened? You need that spare phone.
Hello?
Yeah, she gone.
You got me?
She gone. Ruining our show. Hey, you and Devon?
Yeah, I'm here. Is this me? You got me?
Yeah,
yep.
I got you.
Here.
I got you. Yeah, I got
can
you
hear me?
You back?
Yep. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you good. Right. You're coming through nice and clear. What you on?
I had to go Skype. Yeah, I know y'all can Skype us to get us in. You know these iPhones, they do whatever they do.
Yeah, see, I'm gonna have to go pull up some audio for you, man. When you drop out like that, we gotta have some jokes. On the board for you for this, man. You disappeared. So while you were away, Devon, me and Ray continue with our show. We were in the middle of your Pittsburgh pick when you left. Hadn't gotten your pick, so who did you go? I'm sure you went with Pittsburgh, right?
I went with Pittsburgh. I'm just gonna leave it at that, man. I'm gonna say Pittsburgh.
Okay. Me and Ray were debating whether or not somebody was conspiring against you and your picks, man, but you know, we don't make no excuses around here.
Oh man, I started talking to Jack. I thought somebody pulled a plug on me. I said, okay, I see how it is.
So me and Ray continued on to do Philly and Tennessee. Before I tell you who we took, who are you taking?
Philly and Tennessee.
I don't want to bias your picks. See, I don't want to bias your picks
Philly,
knowing that you're playing
Philly,
catch up.
Is it at Tennessee or at
Philly? At Tennessee. It's at Tennessee.
I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Okay. So you on board with me and Ray. We both took Tennessee. So you all good. So now we're on to New England and San Diego. New England and San Diego. I'll take this one first. San Diego's desperate. They're at home. I'm going New England. San Diego is losing their identity slowly. They don't have a running game. They're not a physical team. Defensively, they're soft. I'm going with Brady. I'm going with Brady and New England on this one again. It's going to be the weather's going to be nice, so they won't have to battle the elements. Because San Diego's a beautiful place. If you ever been there, it's a lovely place. So I'm going with New England on the road. I'm taking Belichick over Turner, Brady over Rivers, you know, and Gates may be out for this game too. So things ain't looking so good in San Diego.
See, this is when the hard thing about this is where San Diego historically has made a run, and. You got to believe. Do you believe that North Turner is going to do it again in November, in December? I mean, that's the pressure. I don't even know where to go with this one. But I got to catch up. And the only way I can catch up, I got to trust San Diego.
Good luck with that, partner.
This is about catching up. This ain't about anything else.
Who you got, Ray?
I think that I'm going to go with New England. Having poorly guessed on the ability of Deion Branch to come in and make a difference, they played like he didn't leave. You know, they played like he's been there forever. So, having said that, I think that as soft as San Diego's defense has been playing, that this team can exploit the hell out of them. So, as much as Turner does like to come around late. I think you'll have to wait till after this game because I don't think Belichick is going to allow it.
Okay. So Ray's going with the Patriots. I got the Patriots, and Devon's got the Chargers because he's playing catch up. See, Devon, that's where you start. See, you got that gunslinger mentality.
I don't know. When we look at the summary, I may be ahead. When we do the summary, I may be ahead, so I may be letting y'all back in it. So.
Okay, we'll see. The next game, Minnesota at Green Bay. Barr, back in Green Bay, back at Lambeau. This one is. I'm gonna toss this one to Ray to kick this one off.
I hate to go first on this one because I would love to see.
Yeah, these next two are probably gonna be the deciders for this week. Y'all know that, right?
So. Sure. Green Bay has to win. You know, Green Bay has lost some football games that even Green Bay has to admit that they shouldn't lose. And, being at home, being against Favre, there shouldn't be any other pressure. You know, Favre should be taken right out of the equation. What Green Bay needs to look at is that if they're going to win the Central, they have to make a run, and they have to make a run against the Central Division. They have to win this football game. And if they spend the week talking about Favre, they're making a mistake. They should just realize that this is a game that they have to win. I think the Green Bay had better win this football game, and I'll take them. Now, you know, this is exactly the kind of game that you don't want Brett Favre to be in, you know, when you bet against. This is exactly the game, after all the controversy, after all the bull, after everything said and done, this is exactly the kind of game that he makes you forget about how stupid he can be at times. You know, forget about all the picks so far this year. Forget about all the, you know, bad plays. Forget about pitches of the junk. You know, this is what he'll do this week, is try to make you forget about all the other stuff and try to make you, you know, try to find that brick card, rookie card, you know. This is where he converts people. When he should be at his lowest, you know, he seems to rise to the top. So, yeah, I expect a very good game. I expect an exciting game. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that the Packers, if they want to really be, you know, talked about as one of the elite football teams in this league, this is a game they have to win. Because they could find themselves much like Dallas, much like San Diego. You know, all the hype, but, you know, who are they really?
All right.
Devon, who you got? I broke it down.
I'll put like this. Brett has been killing them. And if he in one game, it's just like every time he looks up, he sees Thompson. And what we might see is Moss through the moon on him one more game. So I'm gonna go with Minnesota, just crushing their hopes again, because I love to see Packer fans in pain.
I feel you on that, D, and I'm going to have to go with Minnesota too, man. And I'll tell you why. Watching Green Bay play, they can't run the ball. And Minnesota doesn't allow people to run the ball. So I anticipate the Packers to have nil running game. I mean, nothing in the running game. I don't think they're going to get anything. So that makes them one-dimensional. And I see Jared Allen feasting. And I see him and Aaron Rodgers becoming real close and personal all Sunday afternoon. I see him hog-tying them a couple times. You know, I just don't think that bodes well for Green Bay. You know, hopefully Clay Matthews and them is back. In my heart, I hope Green Bay turns it around, because I would like to see them stay competitive in the race, because that makes it interesting. But at the same time, I think in this particular situation, in this particular game, given all things considered, I think Minnesota steals this one on Sunday Night Football. Man, Football Night in America, it's not gonna be such a good night for America's team, you know. So I'm going with Green Bay. I'm going with Minnesota on that one. So for the last one, last game, we got the Giants. We got the Giants at Dallas. Devon, take it away.
This is like the pea soup bowl. oh my goodness, this one is just like painful to even talk about. The Giants, you know, the Giants are showing some life. I just don't even know where to go with this one. I can't even analyze this game, because they just did nothing. I'm gonna do this, and I didn't roll with them once. I don't know why I'm even gonna do it this way. I'm going to go Cowboy fan. I'm going to roll with you one more time. I just think they can't. I'm just playing the percentages on this.
You're going to burn your boots. I'm telling you.
I know I'm
going to
burn
your boots.
But you know, I don't trust Eli Manning on the road sometimes, man. The Giants are like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde sometimes. I mean, both of them, this is just, I'm going to say Dallas to take a lot out of our
Dallas what?
Dallas is in a low, and they got about that. I'm playing this like a stop. They got to be on the way back up on this one. Now, I'm going to go with Dallas.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Devon's going Dallas on this one. I think I'm going to, you know, unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to roll with Devon on this one. I don't trust the Giants on the road. yeah, man, I can't trust. I mean, this is like picking between, you know, somebody that's a schizo and a bipolar, man. You know, you got the schizophrenic girl on one side and the bipolar girl on the other side. Yeah, all those even, I mean, they might even be the same thing. Either way, it's two different words, names for them. But whatever. Anyway, Dallas. I'm going Dallas, man.
Now,
Dallas.
And I'm not trying to catch up. I'm just telling you that in as much as New York has been Jekyll and Hyde, they at least have been Jekyll and Hyde. I can't tell you this year when I've seen Dallas really play any
Dallas
football.
Bomb.
Yeah, and so having said that, you know, as bad as the Giants played this weekend, you know, what did Hicks have?
What did he have last week?
You know, he's been the most productive receiver in football.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had a bad week. They had a bad week. You know, that's that Jekyll and Hyde. Maybe you can't trust Eli Manning on the road. I don't know if it's on the road or just every other game or what have you, but Dallas has not, you know, to me, played good football. They are a lost team right now. And I see the Giants as a division rival coming in there and slapping them in the mouth. They have something to play for. Dallas, all they got left is their pride, and I haven't seen any of that shine through yet. So I can't pick them. I can't pick them at home. I can't pick them anywhere. I'm going with the Giants. I think the Giants are going to go down there and beat them.
All right, so that wraps up our picks. You know, for all y'all listening out there, if you want to, we're going to post our picks on the Facebook page. If you want to see if you can outpick us, man, feel free to. We got another call on the line. I'm going to bring him up real quick. Say what? Hello? Hello? Ray?
I'm here.
Okay, y'all there? Okay. Before I bring the call in real quick, I want to switch gears while we have the opportunity. And I want to play a clip for you. We're going to transition into some NBA talk real quick. So we're going to transition into that. I want to play this clip for you, and then I want to get your reaction. All right? I got a little bit of audio for y'all here.
So 56% of the GMs in the NBA said if they were going to start a team with one guy, they picked Kevin Durant, and a full 66% said the MVP this season will be Kevin Durant.
Okay. So,
who
hello? Are we there?
Yeah, who said that?
That was Doris Burke. Okay. They had ESPN did this roundtable this weekend on Sunday, and they had, you know, they had Chris Broussard, they had J.A. Adande, they had Rick Bucher, and they had Doris Burke at a roundtable session, and they were talking about the upcoming league, the upcoming season, and some of the impressions of the top teams and different players. And so that was something that was thrown out for conversation. So, you know, Kevin Durant as a possible MVP this year and possibly as the best player in the league. What do you guys think about that right now?
I think he's riding that whole, you know, summer league. I don't see Kevin Durant as the MVP of the league this year or perhaps any other year. So he's a great player, but the league MVP, I don't see that at all.
I mean, I think it's coming off how he performed at the World Championships. People, we are the time, you know, it's kind of like the now kind of generation right now. I mean, you know, it's like people forget and put things in context. And everybody's throwing dirt on Kobe. Michael throwing dirt on Kobe. Everybody's throwing dirt on Kobe. You know, we've been throwing dirt on LeBron. I think both of those two are going to be highly motivated individuals. And I think they're going to put some stuff on there. Like Kevin Durant, you know, the fact that he's got to be the focus of the team, he's going to carry him. I just don't think his supporting cast is going to play up to the level that they played last year. I may be wrong. I mean, they're still going to be competitive. They'll probably be top three or four out west. But I don't know, because people are going to see him coming. They're going to prepare for him. You know, they're not going to sneak up on people. People are going to game plan for him in a different way. they're going to take them serious. They were kind of like the little brother last year who kind of slapped people in the knee and the head and snuck up on them. They're not going to do it like that. And I think people right now, so many folks are either disrespecting Kobe or disrespecting LeBron, you know, Wade or whatever you could say like that, but particularly LeBron, that I think – and then Dwight Howard. I mean, Dwight Howard's put some monster stuff up here in the preseason. So I just don't think that's a guarantee. I think Durant's going to have a great season, but I think the MVP is going to come from somewhere else.
Yeah, so before I weigh in, we have a caller on the line joining us in the conversation again. Who we got on the line?
We got the Ghost of Christmas Past.
Are you there? Okay, I think we lost our caller. That's all good, though. That's all good. Okay, so moving along. So I guess I will weigh in. You know what? And I think you hit it right on the head when you said we don't put things into context. I put this into context. These are GMs saying that if they were building a team today, they would rather have Kevin Garnett. GM saying that they think Kevin Garnett is going to be the MVP this year. From a GM perspective, if I was building a team today, I would want Kevin Garnett. Why? Because LeBron has tainted his image. Kobe has tainted his image. And as a GM, you're thinking about what's going to happen on the court, but also how can you sell this player off the court. And right now, Kevin Durant, because he's squeaky clean as of today, he's probably the most marketable player the NBA has right now, the untapped. You know, they really haven't tapped into his marketability yet. And I think that was at the crux of that statement for a lot of GMs and that perception that everybody's jumping on the Kevin Durant bandwagon because it's kind of the hot bandwagon right now because he's clean. Whereas LeBron, he's kind of polarizing right now, you know, and a lot of GMs don't like what LeBron did. They don't like that. And Kobe's up there in age. And so that's why I think there's that knock. And Dwight Howard still has a long way to go to develop offensively. Yeah, he did a couple of days with a king, but we'll see if that bears fruit.
But again, it's, you know, how are they going to come back from, you know, this Durant situation is a blessing, for the summer league and the interest that it drew and. You know, it's one of those things. Is his team going to be competitive enough to keep his, you know, image and his place in these conversations when these other teams come out and really start playing ball? And
no,
you know, it isn't enough to just be the best player on your team and to carry your team into the playoffs and all of these things. It's, you have to make better noise. And
the fatal flaw of that particular team is that, you know, it was proven last year, and I think it's going to be proven again this year. And I think this is the reason I don't think the Heat are ready to – they may make it to the finals, but I don't think they can win the finals this year because they don't have enough inside, and neither does Oklahoma City. That's
right.
Why I have Portland as my second favorite team out west to challenge the Lakers. Portland's biggest thing is that they need health. And even with the poor health they had last year, with all of their top players missing a bunch of games, they still won 48 games with a ragtag bunch of guys. So I have Portland as my kind of second runner-up to the Lakers in the West because they have the bigs to play with the Lakers. They have the bigs to play with Orlando. They got the bigs to play with the Boston. Oklahoma City doesn't. And, you know, they're the chic – you know, team to pick right now. They don't got no horses inside. And it's been proven time and time again, you've got to have some horses down, though, if you want to compete with the big boys.
Yeah, it's got to be inside. And I'm not quite sure, you know, about Portland yet because Portland, I think they got all the pieces, but do they have it from the neck up? You know, to go to that next level, to be where be second in the West on a consistent level. And I haven't seen Portland demonstrate that level of consistency. So, you know, you always like they're hungry, they get over the top. So I'm not.
Yeah,
quite
I gotta
sure
disagree with you because I think they have it mentally just because of the way they play without Roy for so many games last year, without LaMarcus Aldridge for so many games last year. I mean, last year at times, they were fielding, you know, 10 guys. You know, they got a lineup. They got 10 guys available for a game, and they still won. They still won. They still made the playoffs in a highly competitive West. I think they have the mental toughness, and they have the depth to make it in the West. And I think because they've kind of stumbled the last couple of years, people have – because a couple of years ago, people were talking about the Blazers like they're talking about the Thunder. They were talking about the Blazers were that it team. But because the last couple of years, they've stumbled a little bit with – not due to play, but injury.
Oh.
When they're healthy, they're one of the better teams in the West.
But that's you know that's part of the equation. There's no, you know there's nothing that indicates that first of all they're going to be healthy. Can they play at that? I mean that's why I put them out there. It's like they there's nothing. I don't know if it's a karma thing. I don't know what it is, but they look good on paper. They look good in games, but it never ends up with them being number two or three in the West. They just all you know they always fight for that seventh or eighth seed.
And that's why I think this is the year, because nobody's talking about them now. They're not the end pick anymore. Nobody's talking about them. I think this is the year where they finally get focused and put it together.
Well, again, it's going to come down to health, and that's been the biggest jinx or what have you for them. You know, they haven't been able to field a five-deep squad. You know, they have been putting together teams that – or have been putting on the court teams that – that are made up, you know, because they've lost pieces. But if they, you know, they're one of those teams that if they ever have the pieces, if they ever have everybody on the same page and healthy, they have the talent to make a lot of noise. But they haven't, they just haven't proven to be healthy.
Right, right. And to me, that's a fluid situation because you're injury prone till you're not injury prone. You know, you're injury prone until you're no longer injury prone. You know what
right.
I mean? So as a player, you have a lot of injuries till you stop having a lot of injuries. Then nobody talks about your injuries anymore. You know?
They've had more than enough. I mean, that's the problem with that.
Right.
That's the problem
that's the reason why I think that they have it is because they have been hit like no other team. Even the damn coach tore his ACL. You know what I'm saying? Even the coach blew out his knee. So, you know, I think they've been hit like no other team as far as injury goes, and they've still been able to compete in the West. You know, if they were in the East and competing like that and finishing in the fourth, fifth, sixth, I'd be like, okay, whatever, that's the East. They're not on that. They can't do it. But to finish sixth or fifth or even seventh, to make the playoffs in the West where you damn near got to win 50 games just to get in, given that they had so many of their players out and missed so much time last year. If you added up the amount of time that they missed about three seasons worth of games.
That's right.
You know, if you added up the players,
they still
played hard.
Right. They lose, you know, they get people that go down, you know, early in the season, never come back. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Those dudes are still even in the league.
Right. But you don't forget who those players are, and it's.
Right.
You know they have talent. I mean they have tons of talent.
Well,
yeah,
when you look at it, their power ranking is like they got them at 11th power ranking. So the other West teams that they have ahead of them: the Jazz at 9, the Mavericks at 8, Spurs at 7, Oklahoma at 6.
See, I don't buy none of those teams. I'm not buying any of those teams right now.
Lakers are at 1.
You know, and what they have, what many of those teams have, is a lot of aging players. This Portland team is still a young team. If they would just stay healthy.
I mean, if you look at it, I like the. I mean, if this team can stay healthy, I like them better. I like the Rockets better in Portland.
Okay,
I do. I like the Rockets also. Me and Phil T were exchanging texts on this the other day. Phil T, one of our listeners, Southern Illinois. Shout out, my man in Missouri. We were going back and forth texting, and you know he asked me for my top five in the West, and I said the Lakers, the Blazers, the Rockets. Who else did I have? I had to go back through my text. I had the Lakers, the Blazers, the Rockets, Oklahoma City, and there was one more team. Who was it? Now I gotta go back and actually. Check my text. The Rockets, And I think it was Utah. As the other team that I picked. So, yeah, it was Utah. So those are the teams that I feel like have a legitimate shot. Now, Utah, I think, is solid. I don't think they'll challenge L.A. I don't think they have enough inside. I think they'll do great in the regular season, but I don't think they have enough inside. Dallas and San Antonio are really like, but I don't know if they can hold up because of the age. You know, they're going to have to play like the Celtics played the last year where they just like, damn the regular season, we just need to do well enough to get the playoffs.
And that's exactly, how they don't play. And that's exactly why I don't even view them like the Celtics, and perhaps I should. But, you know, maybe, you know, Mother Nature is just kinder to the Celtics, but they don't play as aged as what I see the Sonics, or not the Sonics, but San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I just see San Antonio as an aged team. I see Dallas as an aged team, you know, where they are going to play well throughout the season. But if they don't make some moves during the season, they're not going to, you know, do a whole lot come March.
Mm-hmm.
April. That's when, you know, I'm an old man. I know what happens when you try to do something for too long. And I mean, you go out there for a while, you know. Like that old saying, you know, I just don't see, you know, how these teams are going to prop these players up for that length, you know, for that long of a season. There's just too many games.
Yeah.
And they don't have the depth. They don't have the. They haven't proven, like the Celtics, to be able to maintain, you know, a situation for that long. The Celtics were kind of, you know, quirky last year in that they had guys go in and out of play. They won a, you know, fair share of games, and when it got to the end of the year, they were all healthy and back together. That was kind of a fluke the way that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened for them, and I'm wondering if this year the Celtics just don't play that way. It's like, oh, hell, we ain't got to win every night, you know.
Right.
But San Antonio, they haven't done that. You know, San Antonio goes out to win every night. Well, come March, you know, you can't have enough ice, you know.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
that's a real good way to put it.
And they're not winning games where guys are coming out late in the fourth quarter to get that ice. You know, they're trying to,
mm-hmm.
they're getting that ice on the way home and coming back out and playing again the next night. And it doesn't work like that when you get past a certain age.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not real big on San Antonio. I'm not real big on Dallas just because of the age factor. And, you know, I think you have to have a specific game plan going in. And, you know, I do like Houston. I like Houston a lot. You know, Phil T was kind of surprised when I threw Houston out there, but I like their roster. I think they're sneaky.
Yeah,
good.
The roster's incredible to look at.
Yeah, you know, I like their roster a lot. I think they got some nice pieces. I think if they figure out how to effectively manage Yao through the regular season, I think that's going to be the big piece. Because Yao is still a wild card in this because regardless of all the bigs in the league, I don't think, you know, I still think Yao is the most skilled, offensively skilled big in the league as far as post play.
Sure.
As far as what he can do on the block, on the low block, and, you know, from 15 feet in, it's him and Gasol as far as offensively skilled big men. It's him and Gasol, and
wonder how he's coming back, you know, and how gingerly he's going to be. You know, I haven't had a chance to see him in the preseason. You know, I don't even know that he's playing. You know, so
yeah. From what I've gathered is the plan is to play him about 24 minutes a game throughout the season. So, you know, they're going to limit his minutes, but they have enough pieces in place. They have enough pieces in place around. To be able to support, you know, they brought in Brad Miller, they got Stola, they drafted Patrick Patterson, who's a big.
That's the pick,
you know,
right there.
They got Jordan
say,
Hill, who's a big. So they got some other bigs on his roster. They got even got Chuck Hayes. You know, he plays big, but he's not that physically big. But you know, he's a solid power forward type. So they have, you know, between those four guys, they can cover for Yao. For the other 24 minutes when he's not on the court.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. The Patrick Patterson selection, that's somebody that's a steal. if you watch the way he's even he matured in his last year, you know, in college, you know, that's a guy that's got, he has some range to his game. He can get physical. He's not afraid to get in the mix. He's a kind of, he's one of those glue players. You know, he, you know, if he can give you 10, 15 really good minutes, you know, with that second unit, I mean, this is a guy that can be active, can do a lot of stuff. So, I mean, you look at throughout their roster, I mean, I think Houston is a – that's what I, in terms of how they're going to play and having the pieces to complement their style, I think I like the way that they're set up.
Yeah, so, I agree. You know? I agree. I mean, they got some nice players. I mean, they got a nice roster, even on the perimeter. And Daryl Morey, the GM there, has done a real good job of identifying talent. I mean, before Patterson – they had a player similar to Patterson and Carl Landry. They had to move him. But,
that's
right. I mean, a similar type of player, you know. And Landry's a monster, and they got him in the second round, you know. And they got Chase Budinger in the second round.
Yes.
They've hit on quite a few second-round guys. And they were able to bring in Kevin Martin last year, and he's going to help pick up some of the scoring slack that with Yao sitting on the bench. And, you know, Battier's back and healthy. So he brings some veteran leadership and some tough defense. Aaron Brooks is an emerging guard. Courtney Lee, they picked up Courtney Lee in a trade this summer with New Orleans and New Jersey to replace Ariza and add some more consistent shooting. So, I mean, they got a good team. Like I said, I figure they're going to be one of the top three teams in the West. And I think, you know, nobody's talking about them right now, but my top three in the West are L.A., Portland, and Houston in that order. And, you know, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it right now, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, I haven't yet settled on my top three yet. I'm going to have to break that out that next week.
Yeah, I'm good and settled in right now. You know, barring injury, that's what I see. Those are the three teams. You know, I like Oklahoma City. I like watching them play, but I just don't think they're the top. I think they got some holes to fill. I don't know if Cole Aldridge and Serge Ibaka and Nick Collison are going to do it for you in the paint in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to get the job done. You know, I've seen teams with better post play not make it in the West. And I don't think it's going to get any easier out there, even with the San Antonios, the Dallases, and the Phoenixes kind of on the downside. You know, I think, you know, the Lakers are still they're going to be solid. And, you know, as long as they play cool with Andrew Bynum and let him get healthy and right, you know, they're going to be tough. You know, but swinging it back over to the East, now the East is a whole different story, man. The East, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the East is feeling like the tougher conference right now as far as who's going to make it to the finals. Like, out West, I think it's the Lakers to lose. But in the East, you know, I'd like to get y'all opinion on how y'all feel about this Eastern Conference and how y'all see things shaking out, because, you know, there are about four or five teams that you may argue, because you may have a legitimate argument for coming out of the East and playing in the championship.
You know, when looking at this, you know, I've looked at it, analyzed it, and more, I'm liking what Boston has done. More and more, I mean, you know, everybody says, you know, kind of done it with age, but, you know, they're adding depth in the right places. I mean, where they are in terms of what they want to do with this group. So Boston's like my, you know, everybody's going to talk about everybody else, but I think Boston is, at the end of the day, we're going to look up in June, and they're going to be the self doing what they do.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you on that, man. I think Boston's going to be right there. I like Orlando. I like Milwaukee. If Chicago gets healthy, I can see them, you know, making a run for it. And, of course, Miami's going to be in the thick of it. And we can't forget about Atlanta. Atlanta's still coming back intact. They were, you know, one of the top teams in the East last year. So, looks like we lost Ray to end out the show. That's our theme music rolling in the background. So, you know, Devon, give your final shout-out. We're going to wrap this one up.
Well, I'm going to say this, y'all. Stick with us on Facebook. Hit us up on the show. And, you know, we look forward to getting any kind of feedback y'all can give us. Because this is how we do it, Real Sports Guys.
All right, man. Great way to close it. We're going to wrap it up. Real Sports Guys Radio, RSG. Come get on with us. Come join the resistance. We're out here. We're in the streets. time to make it happen. Get on the coffee table. Come to the coffee table. Bring your A game. All right. Take care. God bless. Ray, catch up with us, man. Where you at? Where you at?
I think that medicine kicked in on his thigh. He fell out.
All right. That's a wrap. We wrapped. Man. Now, Phil G told me that when we talk like this after the show, it shows up on the podcast. So,
oh, it does?
Yeah. So, I mean, we could continue to. I mean, I don't mind. We can continue to talk this way.
It's Real Sports Guys After Dark.
Yeah, it's like a bonus feature. So, of all y'all that download the podcast, Phil T, I know you download it regularly. This is for you, partner.
This is a bonus feature.
Appreciate,
man.
The feedback, dog.
We're giving y'all extra. This is the extra. This is the Real Sports Guys extra.
Yeah, this is the bonus. This is the bonus track. This is the hidden track. Oh, man. Yeah, it looked like we lost Ray again, man. Maybe he'll hit you up. Or you on Skype, so. We lost Ray again. So.
Well, why don't we drop off and then I'll just call. My phone's back up and running, so I can.
All right, cool. All right, I'm going to close it down. Well, this is the end of bonus footage. All you downloaders, take care. God bless you. Be nice.
Yep. Peace.